Today we are beginning a new series called The Road to Recovery. I have introduced this series by sharing with you what's happening in it, in our courier. This eight-week series is to introduce our congregation to an international ministry called Celebrate Recovery. I have been familiar with this ministry for a long time, and only recently thought it would be good to pursue this ministry in our congregation and for our community. Celebrate Recovery was designed at the Saddleback Church in California, began in the 90s, and is currently being used in over 20,000 congregations in the United States and more in other parts of the world. This Friday, Ed Amart and I are going to be meeting with the state representative of Celebrate Recovery to talk about our launch and to try to learn a little bit more about the ministry so that we don't stumble too much in the process of bringing this ministry to you. This message and the following seven messages are adapted from the messages of Rick Warren. I have used his thoughts. I have modified them at points, simplified them at points, and definitely he preaches a lot longer than I do. So I've cut a great amount of material from what he originally had presented at Saddleback. But I just want you to note that we all have hurts and hang-ups, and habits. We all do. And God wants us to recover. God wants us to get better. God wants us to be transformed. God wants us to be free. Isaiah 57, 18 says, I have seen how they acted, but I will heal them. I will lead them and help them, and I will comfort those who mourn. I offer peace to all, near and far. If you've been hurt, anybody here not been hurt? If you've been hurt, God says, I want to heal you. If you're confused, God says, I want to lead you. If you felt you are helpless to change anything, God says, I want to help you change that. If you've ever felt that no one understands your problem, God says, I want to comfort you. If you feel anxious and worried or afraid, God says, I want to offer peace to you. We live in a broken world, and we are all broken. All of us. All of us. We have hurts. We have hang-ups. We're all just a little bit weird. We have habits that don't want to go away. And whether our struggles are emotional, or financial, or relational, or spiritual, or chemical, or sexual, or whatever, the steps to recovery are always the same. And that really is a basic foundational premise of Celebrate Recovery, is we're all screwed up. We all need help. And the steps to recovery, regardless of what we're dealing with, are fundamentally the same. They're found in the Bible, which is the original recovery manual for human beings who are broken. In 1935, a guy by the name of Bob Smith and a boy named Bill W. Some of you will know those names, Bob Smith and Bill W. created the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Today, over 20 million Americans are in the recovery group every week. 20 million every week. But many of you probably do not realize that the 12 steps are based upon biblical principles. They're not stated in the 12 steps. Great recovery, those 12 steps are used, and the biblical principles are once again put front and center, so people will learn that high power is not just a high power, but Jesus Christ who sets captives free. So Celebrate Recovery is based upon principles from the Institutes and the 12 steps of AA, all of which are rooted in the Scriptures. Okay? Now, Pastor Rick Warren explains the 8 principles of recovery using the word, he's genius, recovery. And these 8 principles work hand in hand with the 12 steps, and they're the foundation of Celebrate Recovery, and how we ourselves can be set free, and how we can reach out in the name of Jesus to others who struggle on our families and our neighborhoods and our communities. So the letter is we're going to deal with today. R in recovery stands for realize. Realize. Realize I'm not God. I admit, I am powerless to control my tendency to do wrong things, and my life is unmanageable. That's the first step to recovery. And Matthew 5:3 is our first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are poor in spirit when we bow before God and realize our powerlessness, that we cannot manage our lives without the Lord, that we are all broken, that we all have unresolved hurts, that we all have hang-ups, that we all have habits, and to some extent, we are all still broken despite our best efforts. You ever stay up late even though you need sleep? And even as you're doing it, you think, why am I doing this? And you wake up the next morning, you think, oh, why did I do that? Do you ever eat or drink more calories than your body needs? Why does it have to be chocolate? I could say no to broccoli. Oh, but it's so hard to say no to chocolate. You ever feel like you really ought to exercise, but you don't? Or when you do, the workout isn't quite as vigorous as you had planned. Well, this is no fun. Do you ever know the right thing to do, but you don't do it? You know what it is, but you just don't do it. Do you ever know something is wrong, but you do it anyway? You know it's wrong, but what the heck? Have you ever known you should be unselfish, but you're selfish instead? Nah, toilet's dirty. Susan will clean it. Maybe I better clean it. I cleaned it yesterday. You probably don't know. It doesn't meet code anyway. You ever tried to control somebody or something and found out that that somebody or that something was uncontrollable, it was untamable? Anybody ever been a parent? Or maybe you're a kid now trying to control your parents. Good luck with that too. If your answer is yes to any of these questions, welcome to the fallen human race. Where we're all broken and we're all in recovery. The problem is that we have a sin nature. We want to play God. We don't talk so obviously about it, but everyone wants to be our own little God in our own little world. Romans 7. It's one of those great texts. If you're honest with yourself, this text will say, yeah, I've been there. Welcome to my world. Romans 7, 15 to 20. Paul puts it this way. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree the law is good. Talking about the law telling me not to do it. As it is, no longer I myself would do it, but it's sin living in me. So sin's there inside. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Hands away from the apple pie! Oh, but it looks so good. If it's in the house, I will eat it. I will. If there's two of them, I'll eat both of them. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No! The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. That's the human condition. We have this sin nature, this self-centered piece that says, I want to be God. I want to manage my own life. I want to be in control. We want to play God. Want to call our own shots? Want to make our own rules? Want to be the center of the universe? We want to be in control. Don't you tell me that isn't true of you. Because it is. And we try to control what others think of us. And so we wear masks. And we manage our images and we take selfies of ourselves on the days when we're looking good. We don't do them in bad hair days. Because we want other people to think, hey, look at him. Look at her. He's got it all together. She's really pretty. She's pretty sharp. Oh, no, he doesn't. I know she doesn't. No, she isn't. Because we're all broken. We try to control other people. We use power and fear and anger and lies and politics and sex and bribes and rewards and shame and praise and manipulation to try to control other people. Because when we have other people under control, life is easier for us. And since we want to be masters of our own universe, that it's easier if everybody else's universe falls in line with ours. We try to control our problems. We use phrases like, I can handle it. It's no big deal. I got this. I don't need help. I can quit anytime. I'll work it out on my own. Yeah, how's that working out for you? Still have hurts? Still have hang-ups? Still have habits? And we try to control our pain. Yesterday, I had a quiet day. Did a little work around the house. I groaned all day long. When I feel pain, I don't say anything. I don't complain. I just groan. How many times did I groan yesterday, Susan? Something in my soul hurt yesterday. We could talk about psychoanalyzing all of that and probably has a lot to do with my Aunt Doris dying, my dad being very ill. I also don't like what I see in the mirror. Being 61 is not near as edifying as being 31. Has a lot to do with facing my own mortality, seeing people I love die, knowing that I'm dying too. Has a lot to do with processing life. But I can tell you that yesterday, in my own quiet way, I was processing pain. So we try to control our pain. We self-medicate with eating, and drinking, and drugs, and compulsions. Control issues and sex and the pursuit of comfort and busyness and noise and distractions and devices and popularity and power and pleasure. We do all that so we do not have to face our pain. For when I am still like I was yesterday, and I shut that stuff off and I allow myself to feel what I feel, I don't always like what I see and what I experience. So it's easier to find some way to self-medicate. And when we self-medicate, we keep ourselves hurt and we keep our hang-ups and we keep our habits. What are the consequences of playing God, of managing our own lives, of keeping everything all together and pretending that everything's okay when it isn't okay? Fear. When we try to control everything, we do it because we're afraid. What if things really get unmanageable? What if things really get out of hand? Even after playing God in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve realized what they had done, they were afraid. They realized they were naked, so they hid from God. They hid from God. Fear. People might find out who I really am. People might find out my real struggles. They might discover really just how unholy I am, or how messed I am, messed up I am, and how broken I am. They might figure out that I'm really a fake, and I really don't have it all together. We already know. Not fooling anybody. Not fooling anybody. I know you're broken. I'm broken too. It's frustration. It's frustrating trying to be the general manager of the universe. It's like playing the arcade game Whack-A-Mole. Anybody ever play Whack-A-Mole? Just as soon as you bonk one of those little suckers on the head, another one pops up. And they just pop, 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 pop. You can't keep up with it. Eventually the game wins. And it's frustrating. I hate that game. Whack down one compulsion and another one pops up. Whack down one problem, another problem pops up. Whack down another relational conflict and another one pops up. You heard about the minister. He was just so happy. Nobody had seen him so happy. He said, "Why are you so happy?" He said, "Well, I became an undertaker." "An undertaker, and you're happy?" He said, "Yeah. Now when I get people straightened out, they stay straightened out." Whack-a-mole! It's frustrating because we're not God. And we can't control our own selves, let alone the people and circumstances around us. It's beyond us. And then there's fatigue. It's tiring to play God. Trying to control everything, pretending we've got it all together. Denying takes a lot of energy. Psalm 32, David said, "My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them." "Yeah, but you don't understand. I got a lust problem." "Yeah, I know. Everybody in this room has a lust problem. Everybody." "Yeah, but I'm really, really greedy." "Uh-huh, I know. We're all really, really greedy." "Yeah, but sometimes I'm mean to people." "Uh-huh, I know. Sometimes we all are mean to people. I know." That's tiring, trying to hide that. It's tiring to trying to pretend. And so we run from our pain by keeping busy and by trying to keep our image up. want to really feel what we feel, so we don't want to slow down, because when we slow down, then we stop and we actually see ourselves and we see God, and we say, oh God, have mercy. I better put that device back in my ear so I don't have to think about what I've become. Maybe if I just win one more game of solitaire or win another mobile strike, I'll be better. How many angry birds can you kill? The effects breakdown, fatigue. And failure. When we try to play God, we're guaranteed to fail because I am not God. And neither are you. There's only one God. And none of us in this room are even close. Not one of us. So we need to be honest about our faults, our weaknesses, our failures, our confusions, our brokenness, our anxieties, worries, fears. Because we cannot recover on our own. We need God. We need one another. Because a church is not a club for holy people. It's a hospital for sinners walking through recovery, struggling together with life. In Celebrate Recovery, we create a safe place for people to be real, to heal, to be set free from hurts and hang-ups and habits. We take off the masks and walk the first step of recovery together. The letter R. I realize I'm not God. I admit I am powerless to control my tendency to do wrong things, and my life is unmanageable. And Matthew 5:3 is our beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are those who look to God and see our brokenness. We see our need of God. We see that we need God to help us and love us. And together we come to God, poor in spirit, admitting that we are not God and that we're not in control and that there are areas of our lives that are unmanageable and that we are all in need of recovery. I don't see anybody perfect in this room. I love you all. None of us are even close. Truth. Truth. We become honest. We share our struggles. We celebrate our victories. And the Bible says that in admitting our weakness, we find strength. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. We admit that we need other people and that we need God. No one is an island. And we cannot make it on our own. Admitting that we're not God means admitting we're powerless to change our past. You cannot change your past. Admitting we are powerless to control other people. You cannot control other people. Admitting we are powerless to cope with our harmful habits, thoughts, words, and actions. We need more than willpower and good intentions. We need God. We need God. Not some mythical higher power, but the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. God. James 4, 6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know who the humble are? They're the poor in spirit. They're the ones who realize, I am not God. I don't have it all together. And I am tired of pretending that I am somebody that I am not. Grace is more than God's forgiveness. Grace is the power to change. That's the power in recovery. It comes to the humble, to the poor in spirit, to those who recognize they need Celebrate Recovery is more than a program. In fact, I don't even like to use the word program. It's a way of being together. It's a way of being the church. It's a way of loving one another, supporting one another, walking with one another in our mutual struggles. It is a way of reaching out to those around us who are broken and bleeding and needy, who would never come to a church because churches are what churches are. Well, this church doesn't need to be what churches are. This church needs to be a place where God is working in real people with real struggles, to help us to become free. What are your hurts? Hang-ups. Habits. What in your life needs to be changed? This is our first step to recovery. I realize I'm not God. I admit I am powerless to control my tendency to do wrong things, and my life is unmanageable. If you don't begin there, you will not find recovery. You'll be living in denial. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You'll hear more in the next 7 weeks. And then somewhere, when I figure out what I'm doing, we will launch our first group. And we will launch as many groups as we need to see people free in this congregation, in our families, in our neighborhoods. We will bring the gospel, not by handing out tracts, but by struggling together, being honest, and praying, and sharing, and learning, and growing. Today, do this simple thing. Surrender your whole life to God. Simple thing. Yeah, easier said than done. Do this simple thing. Surrender your whole life to God. That's the first step to freedom. Today is our first step to freedom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.